Okay. And I
Hey,
only.
can I just ask
Sure.
you, the recording, you said they're up there, the group call recordings.
Yeah.
Where do you put them?
You haven't seen them? They're
No, I
right
haven't found them.
underneath the recordings. I'm pretty sure they're right where each module is. Right underneath it, it'll say group calling. Now, recording. Now, I might be mistaken because we had some difficulties. He changed a lot of things around. Let me just check something here. That's a good question. I can just
On your
answer
web, on the where I can, after each week, the module's there, and so is the meditation. But as to date, I've not seen one recording.
Oh, well, they're all there. They're just somewhere there, kind of like there, and like the socks in the dryer there somewhere. They didn't disappear there, but let me see. Hang on. Let's see. Let's see. Appointments, recordings, Healing Foundation. So, I'll send you something here. It says, let's see. It's just www.gregjoseph.com/getoutofpainnow/healing-foundation, and that's supposed to take you to everything. I will copy that and send it.
Okay, well,
Okay, and just to make sure now.
that is where I go to get your modules.
Okay, so try gregjoseph.com/. We got a pencil?
Well, I've got it open in front of me.
Oh, okay. Try
It's
gregjoseph.com slash question mark, then small p, then an equal sign. 390.
No,
Oh,
that's not
okay.
right. Hang on a minute. So, Greg, that's really weird because I get all your other stuff.
Ah.
This
Well, I'll
group
make
call.
sure. I'll talk to the tech guy and make sure that he that we get that squared away. Yeah, because there's some really cool stuff on there. As a matter of fact, I wish I had listened to each one as he had asked me and like summarize it. So then when people go back to listen to the group calls, I could say, well, we mainly talked about this, this, and this, you know, and then they could look things up by category. And I'm more than happy to get any feedback on that. But it's like when I'm in it, I just don't remember like right away afterwards.
Well, I mean, this is an evolving thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so I won't be able to. I was looking on the what do you call it, the Abraham Hicks site, and you know how they have on the right hand side they have like thousands and thousands of CDs, and they're used and they're listed by what do you call it? Yeah, by category, like forgiveness or abundance or whatever it is. And so I thought I would do the same thing. Because we get into so many cool different things.
We do.
Yeah, well, we'll do this. Let's just take a nice deep breath in. And we'll just let everything go from the day. Wait for you for the evening.
Ah, for the yes.
Yeah. And just ground yourself right into the earth. Just take a nice deep breath and feel your whole body going right into the earth. We breathe up, and it's like we're breathing right up into the sun. Just imagine your body getting bigger and bigger. And the body actually physically stays the same, but it's the auric field around it that just gets bigger and bigger, and it feels like the body's expanding. That's actually what this is called. We're just expanding. Sometimes we feel small, or we're talking poorly about ourselves, and we're generally not loving ourselves. So we just expand. And as you're expanding more, just smile into that expansion. And just feel your whole body let go. We give thanks for this opportunity to be here once again, to be able to share our hearts, to be able to heal, to be able to bring each of our genius talents to the table in such a way that we will benefit. That's good. So, does anybody, Veronica, have anything to say? Even when there's other people around, you're always out there, Veronica.
I've enjoyed the program immensely. Mm-hmm. I enjoy is not the right word. I found it. That has helped me a lot. With regards to the newsletter that you sent out, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to tag into the future group sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will be very helpful.
It's did you say Diksha?
No, the group sessions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good.
I've got quite a lot that I can still move on with. Given, I still feel that I have a ways to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like my teacher used to say, if you've arrived, you have everyone's, you know, permission to ascend.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a process, all right. Ongoing. And when we think about it, if we would just love ourselves enough, we have everything right at our fingertips. I mean, I hear stories, Dr. Gary Young, a nutritionist, and people like that, they'll say, and I don't think it's just him, I think the American Medical Association mentioned something about it, is that there's over 167,000 something pollutants in the air at any given time. Maybe it was 167. And it's so we have to be aggressive about loving ourselves and our health. When I was up in Grass Valley, the woman that owns the place there, she was bitten by a tick. And she didn't notice it right away. She did catch it, but it had already started to work on her. It was on her back, and she couldn't hardly reach it. Luckily, I don't know how she got to it, but she got it off. And I noticed that, you know, it turned red. And I said, are you concerned? And I had some Imu Power, which is an oil from Young Living Oils, and I put that on her back and on the butt. That's a statement coming from me, who I haven't been to a doctor in 30 years or so. But I was concerned about Lyme disease. I thought, well, maybe, you know, they can sequester whatever the tick leaves in there. Then they can stop that. And she said, oh, it's all up to my immune system. If I keep my immune system up, everything's going to be fine. My immune system will handle it. And I believe that. I thought, oh, boy. Because I was going to go, it's so beautiful up there, and it's so private, you know, and I was just going to put a pair of swimsuit on and walk around the yard and go over, look over the cliff and things. But after I saw the tick, I chickened out. And I didn't want to, you know, attract a tick, so I kept closed. And it's actually tick season up there now. I guess they're just prolific. So I came down to Martinez, and yesterday morning I was laying out on a hammock, and I thought, oh, isn't this nice? And then I remembered I had to go do something, so I only laid there for about 10 minutes, and it turned out a good thing. I came downstairs, got on my computer, and to see this dot on my arm, I thought I'd, you know, wipe it off, and I couldn't, and it turned out to be a tick. And I thought, oh, well, my immune system's pretty darn good. I keep, you know, I've been doing juicing. I've been taking good care of myself. And I took it off, and I put Immu Power on. and I have no redness, no sign of it even being there. And I thought, huh, what she said in that belief system about loving and taking care of herself, turned out I was going to say, I'm going to use that too. Hello, who's here?
Hi, Greg, it's Christine.
Hi, Christy. You always call from a different number. All righty. And okay, and Veronica's here, so we're in good shape. Okay, so we're just talking about the fact that actually the bottom line was I was just getting to is love. Is this love of self is an incredibly powerful healing source. And she loved herself. I was just talking about a woman who got bit by a tick. And it turned red, and then if it gets this white spot in the middle and turns red on the outside, you've really got to take care of it. But on her, it just turned red, but the white spot didn't appear. And then by the second day, it was pretty much gone. And I got bit by one yesterday, and it didn't do anything. And her statement was, my immune system, because I was concerned that she might should go to a doctor, and she said, no, my immune system is fine. It will handle it, well, no matter what it is. I thought, wow, what a powerful statement. By loving herself, you see, she keeps her body out of pain. She allows her body to work for her. So when I got bit yesterday, I thought I'll do the same thing. And I got to mind, the tick didn't grow yet. You know, it had just evidently landed on me and just kind of planted itself there. But I was able to get it off quite easily. And it's fine. There's no redness. There's no anything. I've been taking pretty good care of my immune system lately. So I thought, huh, I actually do love myself after all. So we have these challenges, you know, and we have to come back to, what is it that I really want for myself, and what do I really want to create? What is it that I've done that I need to learn from? And how much will I love myself and allow myself the grace of being true to myself? We often do things to please others, or in fear that we're not going to please them. As though we have that kind of power over someone else. It's an ego trip. Everybody chooses for themselves. Every time, all the time. There are no exceptions. And that's a hard one to swallow, too, when you see sometimes people are incarcerated, or you see these stories from, like those horrible stories in Africa and those gangs running around and stealing the kids so they can make them fight and things like that. In the purest spiritual sense, yes, they all chose. Everybody had an agreement to come down and do what they did for whatever reason they're doing it, to help others to see what's going on in the world, to experience whatever joy, pain, or misery, or absolute freedom they need to experience. They get to do it. So what if we absolutely loved everybody for just where they are? And love qualified with compassion, acceptance. Remember, love, as I defined it earlier, is an outward centrifugal force. If I come up, punch you in the nose, that's love by definition. Okay. Now, so I'm saying love qualified with feelings or emotions of gratitude, of joy, of cooperation, of support, of nurturing. And all of those have to be within yourself in order to give it out. This is what that last module was all about. So I said, you know, you use those sentences, you know, and you can say them over and over and over and over again until you believe them. And just begin to love yourself. It's such a joy. It's like I don't know if anybody. I love to watch movies, and there was that movie with Paul Newman and Tom Cruise, and it was something about The Color of Money or something like that. And they were pool sharks, and Tom Cruise, in his usual bigger than life style, was way bigger than life. And of course, Paul Newman's trying to get him to calm down a little bit and be suave and sophisticated and turn him into a real con artist, But he can't. Tom Cruise can't help himself. He's so arrogant in his knowing how good he is. And to the outside, a lot of people say, "Oh, boy, that person's egotistical and saying how good they are," when that's exactly what you should do. That's why I forgive myself and I love myself is so important. It's like, "Hi, I'm Gregory, and I love myself." People go, "Oh boy, that guy's full of it." Well, I'd rather be full of that than what most people are full of. Yeah. And think about what position of power that places you in. It looks oftentimes like a person's uncaring if they're very powerful, but they're not uncaring. They're just clear and sure about where they're standing. Anybody have anything to say about that?
I sometimes get a bit confused. I find that I have empathy and compassion for another person. And I endeavor to not, to the best of my ability to not pass judgment and to and forgiveness of another person. Even that I find is a task that I can is something that generally I can do with the right focus and intention. I find it extremely difficult to reconcile myself with some of the things that I've done or regrets that I've had. That seems to be my biggest battle. So when you say to love yourself, I find that as I'm journeying through this process, often things will come to my mind, past events or something that I wish hadn't have happened. Or it's like I wish, they say if you could turn back time, I can see clearly some events that if I could have just done or responded in a different way, how much different things would be now. And that is the battle that I have.
Now, what
I suspect a lot of people would have that battle.
Oh, okay. We'll justify it by bringing in the crowd. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Let me reframe a couple of things for you, if I could. So, regrets. So, I might say, let's say I was a woman and I decided to make love to the whole football team. It was just wonderful. Okay. And then later, I think, well, that might not have been the smartest thing to do. And then you have a regret. Yeah. But there was no harm done. Nobody got hurt. Everybody was in agreement. And yet we might call that a regret. And for the most part, unless it was all of those guys' first time, they don't even remember. They got enough of their own stuff, right? They've all got their own things that they're thinking about. Remember I told you about the roller skating thing? I, went around that big circle in front of the whole, those, the whole world and God, of course, just about 100 people in the in the school, and I was skating around the circle, and they played the music. The music stopped, and so I had to pick a partner, and I fell flat on my face, you know. And I thought the whole school will remember this for the rest of my life. And at the very first reunion we had, nobody even remembered it. Nobody even knew it happened. And I carried that for years. Like, I regretted going skating, even though skating was so much fun. You see, we can just, if we just would say, oh, there's no failure, there's no success, it's just what happened. Here's where we are.
Yeah, it's more to do with parenting.
It's what?
It's more to do with parenting.
Parenting?
Yeah.
I don't have
too many regrets around what I did before I married and had children, because mm-hmm. I understand that that's just some stupid things, but that's, you know, that's okay, you know, like that. I understand why, and then that's fine. But
or if you were Steve Martin, you didn't do stupid things, you did wild and crazy things.
Too, yeah,
because he's a wild and crazy guy, you know. Remember that? And you see, it's just a perception, yeah. And then now look how we draw the line. Oh well, I only did, you know, those things, regrets in parenting. So you say, oh okay, my children, God doesn't flow through their veins; it's totally me. You see, they've chosen. They did choose. They do choose. They are choosing. I mean, I would say the day that, for example, I left Colorado, and knowing that I had to leave my two children there with my wife, and because there was so much dissension going on at the time that it was better just to be out of the picture, I say, oh gosh, I look back and I say, that was the worst day of my life. You know, and it seemed at the time like the right thing to do. Okay? And yes, if I had thought and beat the daylights out of myself for that day, only to find out when I talked with them about it, that boy, that was the worst day of my life. They go, well, my daughter goes, I remember it. You know, we really didn't want you to leave, you know, but then we went out and back and played. You know, and in my mind and in their mind was two entirely different things. And they have chosen to see how it helped them to become independent. So, and they could have chosen to have that as a traumatic experience that completely ruined their lives. And then choose not to do anything with their lives and blame it on me. It's all choice. You had a deck of cards that you were delivered when you were born and when you were raised. And you had that deck of cards was delivered to your children. Only, except your deck of cards is a little different because what you did was different than the one you got, right? But you add yourself to it. And then they have the choice to take that deck of cards. They can throw what cards out they don't want, and they can keep what cards they want. This has nothing to do with you. I'm one of five children, and if I told you, if you told me, asked me, let's see, from 1971 to 1972, describe your father, you wouldn't have a clue that we have the same father.
Yeah.
Okay, from my two sisters to me, my older brother and younger brother, and I had an older brother and younger sister. And I venture once in a while to tell a story that I think about my father, and my sister will look at me like I'm stark raving mad. Where were you raised? You know, what dimension did you slip into? They have no recollection of what my absolute belief system was. So then I had to say to myself, there's no excuse for me doing something or not doing something. Zero. Absolutely none. As a matter of fact, there's an axiom about that. If you don't want to do anything or something, any excuse will do. And if you want to do something, any excuse will do.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is how it works. So you see, to have a regret about how children are raised, you did exactly the best you could do with the cards that you had. And they chose it before they came in, just as you chose having them and having that deck of cards, so that you could fully evolve. So the choice is really, I choose to evolve and learn, or I choose to dig in and experience pain, misery, despair.
Well, thank you. That's really helped a lot.
Okay.
Very simply, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so that was probably, I think, what I was talking to you a few minutes ago about. Hey, yeah, let's look into this a little bit, because as soon as I heard your voice, I just remembered your son, you know, and I thought, we didn't really ever really address that, you know. We did a little bit, I think, once or twice, but not to the extent that we just did. Yeah.
And it's just good to be reminded of that, too.
Yeah. It's like there's no failure, there's no success, there's just results.
Yeah.
And I was just reading a book, quotes from Steve Jobs, you know, the Apple guy, Apple computer guy.
Yeah.
And basically it's one of his, he didn't say it exactly that way, but he said it in so many other words. He said, you know, this is what happened. You just get up and you do it again. So they fired him from his job. He built the entire Apple empire, and then they fired him.
Wow.
You know, and he then in reflection, he thought he was indignant. He was ticked off, you know. And then afterwards, he started a whole new empire with brand new products that were far superior. And they all bring him back. Isn't that amazing? See, it's just, it's not a failure. It's just what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Hi, Greg. It's Hillary.
Who's that?
Hillary.
Carrie, okay.
Hillary, Greg.
Hillary.
Hillary.
Oh, good. Hillary, all right.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Hillary, meet Christine and Veronica.
Hi.
And let's see, Hillary, you might tell everybody where you're from. Just
yeah, I live in Sydney, Australia. Just woken up on the most beautiful day. Just rushed my kids off to school, threw them out the car to get on this call.
Brilliant. Very good. Okay. And Christine is here from the United States. And Veronica is here from, where was
Brisbane.
It, Veronica?
Brisbane.
Brisbane. All right. So that's like we've got quite a mix here, all right? So we were just talking about the actual theme of this whole thing is loving ourselves. Enough to know that we shouldn't beat ourselves up for whatever we've done in the past. But now, with the tools that we're learning, the tools that we have learned, the tools that you're getting involved in now too, Hillary, is going to be the way that you absolutely can neutralize any thoughts that are anything less than impeccable about your own virtues and your own values. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So, because so often, great. We just do things, right? And then judge them later. When you think about it, it'd be better. Did anybody see the movie Frida?
No.
Oh, God, you guys got to see it. Okay, anyway, she asks her father. She says, this young girl, she asks her father. She says, Dad, she goes, what's the best ingredient, you know, for a good marriage? And he thought for a minute and he goes, a poor memory. He said, you just, basically he's saying you just gotta let things go.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing things. Nobody's doing things to you or at you. They're acting out of their own situation. For example, let's say you're at work and somebody's blustering at you, you know, and yelling at you, and because you put your coffee cup on the left side of the desk, you know, and they tell you every morning it's got to go on the right side. And so they're all upset about it. Now, their anger is theirs. That might be a great reason for keeping the coffee cup there, like maybe people walk by so it doesn't brush over or things like that. But the anger is not yours. It has nothing to do with you. If they're angry, they're angry. It belongs to them. It has nothing to do with you. So you might say to a person like that, say, wow, you're really angry. Or if you really want to give them some credit, say, you're really focused. And you just extol their virtues and say, look, you can't be angry at me about this cup, you know. Why don't we handle your anger first? And then let's talk about the issue of the cup. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is how we cross lines, you know. And we don't have any, if you go within and look within, it's not about the other person. It never is. So you say, ah, I can hook on that anger and get angry back because maybe it triggers something in me, like somebody might have used to yell at me when I didn't deserve to be yelled at. Of course, I never deserved to be yelled at, but so it's like that brings that to mind. So then I use that anger to yell back. And what are we arguing about? Nobody even knows. I'm arguing about something from my past. He's angry about something from his past. And we're arguing about that, neither of which has any bearing on the issues at hand. Mm. I mean, do you ever notice emotions up, intelligence down?
Mm.
Yeah, it's an equation that it kind of holds true a lot.
Yeah.
So just take a look at your life for a moment and say, ah, here's what's going on in my life. Whether there's some dissension with another person, whether there's broken agreements, whether there's agreements that were kept to the best you could, whether there's white lies, just wash it all out even right now. There's none of that's true. Those are just labels on things that absolutely happened in the past. If it's a white lie, you just missed the mark, you can correct it. Oh, gee, I said this, I thought I was going to hurt your feeling. And so I didn't tell you the whole truth. Well, here's the deal. What hurts more is not being told the truth. So you just got to tell your truth. And it hurts you as much as the other person. All these things are energies. All these things create energetics in our bodies. It's not just what we eat, it's what we think, it's what we say, it's what we talk, it's what we ingest watching something. We might be watching television, something violent, something beautiful. We might be watching nature, which I'd strongly recommend. We look and learn an awful lot there. And it's so impersonal, the energy of nature. It just is, right? If there's a hurricane, we don't say, oh, that stupid hurricane's attacking me. It's against me. The whole hurricane's against me. As a matter of fact, it must be the whole world. No, it's a hurricane. You get out of the way. Hmm. You see, we put ourselves into positions that perhaps sometimes could elicit or could be dangerous, like the people that lived and the gulf there beneath all of those dams that they built to hold the water back, the dikes. And they know that if anything happens to the dikes, that they could be flooded. They could be killed. They even know that. And they still choose to live there. Is that then the government's fault, or is that somebody else's fault? Or is it simply a choice? Some people moved after the first time it happened. Other people stayed. Other people went right back and rebuilt. I could tell you quite honestly, I would not be one of those people. I would say, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
This isn't a good choice. Yeah. And so I get to change my choice. So let me tell you how this works too. Like, for example, I say, oh, I'm going to meet you at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I totally space it. And so we have an agreement to meet. And so I realize that I space it. So I call you up and I say, oh, gee, I space this. I acknowledge a broken agreement. Okay? Now, notice I didn't come there begging for forgiveness and all of these things. It's just very simple. I misappropriated my time. I spaced it. I did something. I didn't write it on the calendar. Something happened. I acknowledge a broken agreement. They say, okay, I accept. Or maybe they don't. But your obligation at that point in stating your truth, because, you know, sometimes we just, there's just something happens and we just can't do it. And you acknowledge, you say, I acknowledge a broken agreement. And then you can then remake another agreement. Now, if you do that a bunch of times, the other person might say, well, I get it. I got to stop making agreements with that person. For example, you know how some people always come late? They never come on time, right?
Yeah.
So my brother's like that. And so he says, oh, let's get together and talk and this and that. I say, great, come on over. I don't go over to his house or meet him somewhere because he's going to be late. So I just keep doing what I'm doing till he gets there. So I just say, this is how I have to deal with him because I don't have permission to coach him. But see, him being late is all about, you know what is the main reason why people are late? This has been, I guess, proved in the psychiatric world. Do you know what it is?
Huh?
Mm.
Curious.
Yeah. Well, if you're late, who's everybody thinking about?
Yes.
It's a way to glean attention. It's a way to feel important. Oh, gosh, we've all been waiting for you.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
And we assess all this other stuff to it. Oh, like if your issue was respect, you'd say, oh, Greg, you didn't show up. You didn't respect me. If your issue was trust, you'd say, oh, you can't trust Greg. He's not going to show up when he wants to. But see, notice it's your issue that you're applying to my behavior. See, when we don't do these things, when we just simply go, ah, here's what happened. Okay. It's a broken agreement. Let's, you know, make a new agreement. Let's acknowledge that. But don't let it go by and not say anything. We have to acknowledge, yeah, a broken agreement. And would you like to reschedule? Now, if it's your 20th time doing it, you may not want to reschedule. And then you get to adjust your behavior. Not the other person. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Mm. So how is any of this applying to anybody's life? Anybody care to jump in? There's an owl or something. So we have
a lot of sense.
So this is how we love ourselves. You say, I love myself, so I care enough about myself to be honest with where I am, where I stand, and state it. It isn't about making someone else wrong so you can get what you want. It's about loving yourself enough to be clear, to take the time to be clear, to know what it is that I'm about to do is going to serve myself and ultimately everybody else in the highest good.
Sounds very simple.
It is, isn't it?
in theory, yeah.
In theory. Ah, there's the
very simple.
It actually is. Now, if you start practicing it on things that are smaller, that don't make a lot, you know, they're not life or death decisions, like you want someone to park on the left side of the driveway so you can get your car out because you're on the right kind of a thing. And you say, you know, how about if you really need to park your car on the left or on the right, I'll park my car on the left, and we've got this whole thing resolved.
Yeah.
You see, there's ways to handle it. It's handle the emotion first. Don't mix up the issue and the emotion. If somebody gets angry, it's their anger. It has nothing to do with you. Even if they're joyful, it has nothing to do with you. Remember we talked about, and Hittery, this is kind of a new one for you too. It's like, can you hurt people with your words?
I suppose it's whether they react to them, really.
Oh, can they hurt you with their words?
Same thing.
Mm.
How you react to it.
Right, just a choice, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, but again, it's a theory that having studied it for so many years, in my mind it makes sense. From my heart, it's a lot harder when you have an emotional attachment to somebody.
Mm.
You know, a lot easier with people you don't know very well, or there's not a strong emotional link.
Mm-hmm.
But having searched for the answers for this for so many years, it makes sense. It always has done. Totally makes sense.
Sure. So let's look back at what stops that, like attachment, right? Emotional attachment. It was the kicker in there that makes that difficult, right? That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, what if you could release that emotional attachment? I'll tell you what that looks like. Yeah. What it looks like to me when I did a lot of healings on the table and just do, I'm very visual. So I could see the chakras. And people who had emotional attachments at the second chakra, they'd be like, their chakra would be split into all these different chakras and they'd head off in all these different directions. And some of them would trail away into nothing, which means they were really attached to things in the past. Okay? Like I couldn't see where they went. Some of them I could see went to their husband, their wife, their kids, a traumatic event, something, you know, I could see where it went. But sometimes they really trailed off, which sometimes meant it even went back into past lifetimes. And then we would get it back. And we would literally get it back by, if you look at the shape of a chakra, it kind of looks like an ice cream cone sort of a thing. And if you just put your hand over your chakra, like in a circular clockwise, manner, you can sort of start to feel that chakra, and you start to feel like maybe, wow, the top of that chakra is all warbled and out of shape, and maybe it's 2 feet out instead of it should only be about 2 or 3 inches away from your body. You have to move around a little bit to find it. And then you might feel something nagging at you from the right, and put your hand over on that side, and you'll feel one of those tubes heading off outside of you. See, you want to keep all of your emotions inside, and they become then, instead of emotions like in trauma, they become passions. You say, ah, this is my emotion, but I'm going to balance it with getting rid of what doesn't serve me anymore. I'm going to balance it with my idea held before my mind as my reason for being there. I'm going to balance it with my heart, which knows what's pure and honest and serves the highest and best good. I'm going to balance it with my voice, which is creation, and that's love. That's the outward centrifugal force. And I'm going to balance it with my perception, which tells me what the real truth is, not my emotional attachment. You see, because the truth lies in all of these working together. And then, yes, I'm going to check into my crown chakra and see if what I am doing now is what I truly know, or is just another story. You see how this could be done?
Yeah, from a headspace. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So listen to this. Actually, even since we're talking about emotionals, pretend you're listening, and just like in your mind's eye, like a little kid would do, we'll use our imagination and put your ears on your second chakra and just listen from there. I'll say it a lot, you know, check into your body. Now I'm more liking to say, listen with every cell of your body. Listen with all of the spaces in your body, not just your mind. And bringing these higher senses, like you say, I know this, okay? Now there's another axiom that says, to know something and not to do anything about it is the same thing as not knowing.
Absolutely.
Okay? So if you know this, like people say, oh, I'm talking to them, and I say, oh, well, don't talk to me about that. I already know that. I studied that. And my answer is, evidently not.
Absolutely.
You see? Results just don't lie. Results are such a starts with a B. You can't deny them. Because that's what happened. So I'm walking across the street and I trip and fall, and it's because I had it in my mind to trip or fall. How do you know that? Well, because I tripped and fell. Well, let me say it a little differently. Let's say I say, oh, again, I'm going to come and meet you at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I get in a car accident. Was it my intention to meet you at 10 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
No, of course not. I didn't do it, did I? My true intention was to get in an accident based on results. Mm-hmm. You better start being nice to me so I want to show up, you know? I don't know what the issue, but you understand, it's really important to get this. This is called true, it's like intention and accountability.
Absolutely.
Sure. So what makes it hard then? You say, oh, accept there's an emotional attachment. Can you see how you might be able to find a few ways around that now?
I'm struggling with it, to be honest.
I appreciate your honesty. See, that's the best thing. Yeah, it's not an easy one because
I think, you know, whenever I, you know, when you try to do this stuff, I think because for me personally, having done chakra balances on other people, when my heart was open, I know what that feels like. But when you get into that space where your heart is closed, you can't feel. You cannot feel. And I, you know, the more you understand this and the more you realize you're self-sabotaging, you know, the spiral continues.
Yeah, it's important.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's time for what I call a pattern interrupt. And here's the caveat to that. You say, oh, wow, numbness is a feeling. Okay? It's like, oh, I can't feel.
Yep.
Not feeling is a feeling. Do you see?
Yeah.
Like I remember the first time I really got centered and quiet in my head, you know, and everybody's going, oh, I saw this warm, fuzzy, you know, teddy bear, and somebody said, oh, I saw a white feather, and somebody saw something else, and they came to me and I go, oh, I'm just empty. I feel so empty, you know, I thought I felt alone. And I didn't realize, like I didn't have a thought in my head. How many people meditate for 20 or 30 years to get no thoughts in their head? And I did it right out of the chute, and then I labeled it bad.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to be careful. Our brain wants to label things. Oh, I'm numb, and that's not a feeling. No, that is a big feeling. It's an all-pervasive feeling. It's a feeling that's so powerful it blocks everything else out. If you see, and you say you balance your own chakras, yeah, then try that method. Just try doing that. Visualize them. See that they're heading out in all directions. And bring it back in. These sorts of things happen. Emotional attachments. Let me maybe hit on one or two of these and see if one of them resonates for you. So one is an issue, for example, of trust. And so you say, oh, that person's so wonderful, I just trust them so much. What I would suggest to you is you've given away your power. Because your trust, this energy, the spirit of trust then is no longer inside of you, it's over in somebody else. And your definitions are not defined. His idea or her idea of trust may not be the same as yours. That makes sense? And so now you've left yourself open. And you say, oh, and now we label an emotional attachment because, wow, I trusted him to be home at 11 and he came home at 11:15. Rather than I say, oh, I know this guy's always late, so I'm going to trust myself that he'll be here, but he'll be late. You hear the difference? Mm-hmm. Now I've kept my energy inside. I'm not pining, waiting for somebody to show up at the door. I'm not telling myself and making up stories and working myself into a fit of anger because he's not there. Mm. What I am doing is trusting the truth of what I know. That's like you see somebody who keeps breaking their agreements, you go, oh yeah, I'll be friends with them, but I will never do business with them. You see, you say, in essence, you're saying, I trust what I know about this person. We can have fun, but I will not rely upon this person for anything that's important to me. Mm-hmm. This is called loving yourself. This is called building your own self-worth. Isn't it amazing? But see, this is, as human beings, we have this insatiable appetite to comprehend, to compound and confuse and everything that happens in our lives when they're just very, very simple things. That's why when we do this exercise, I love myself and I forgive myself and I love myself. And eventually we'll become so evolved in the next future here and the next evolvement of these teachings, you know. It's like forgiveness is not a necessary step. That only is necessary for our personality. It's like a stepping stone to get to a place. And once you cross that stone, you can let the stone go downriver. You don't need it anymore. But it is a necessary step in order to get us to love ourselves and to forgive ourselves from what we made up about the past, like you were talking about a little earlier, Veronica, like, so, oh, I did this, now I regret it. That's such an, it's especially with regards, you didn't hear this part, Hillary, but in regards to parenting, she said, oh, I don't have regrets about myself, but I have regrets about parenting. But that's to suggest that the children have no God in their veins either. Like they're just robots that have to do whatever you say or do. Mm. So you can only be responsible to them in that you are the best that you can be with yourself. They will make a choice no matter what. Mm. You could be, I think they even have some sitcoms that we're trying, not sitcoms, but reality shows called The Minister's Children, like that kind of a thing. And why aren't they saints? They go through the same trials and tribulations as all the other children in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense when you say it.
Just look for the results. Just look for the results, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's just like, it's just getting past that. So what I'm hearing is when something comes up, when I get thoughts that come up like that, or if I find myself reacting to something, to stop myself at that point and realize that my reaction has nothing to do with that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, it has to do with incompletions in the past.
Yes.
And so when that pops up, you can say immediately, oh, wow, I forgive myself. I love myself. And let it go. And feel the power then turned and transformed into something beautiful that calms you.
Yeah.
You know what I used to do when I would get triggered like that? It was so funny. I had this vision. I don't know where it came from. I said two things. I would say, they'd say something. I'd start to feel that anger or something pop up. And I'd go, oh, big deal. And I would see myself swimming, pushing whatever it was to the side, whatever they said or did, like a breaststroke, you know? And I just saw that in my mind, and it just kind of popped in. I really didn't, you know, say, hey, I'll do this. It just sort of started happening. And I thought, that's kind of cool. And I just push it aside, like swimming, you know? And I don't need to listen to that. And I get that they're angry. I get that that's where they are. And, well, they can stay there if they choose. Mm. I got a really hard lesson. I remember I came out of one of our awareness courses, and it was a celebration. But I had just gotten onto some big traumatic thing that I was stuck on. Okay. Which, you know, we did in any given moment in those classes. But, you know, I just happened to do it during this party. And somebody said, hey, Greg, how you doing? I go, oh, this and that. And they go, boy, are you dumb? This is a party. And they walked away. And I thought, oh, yeah, you know, I could deal with this some other time. We're here to celebrate. See? And it was just that simple. It was just the choice. Hmm. Practice making those choices. Practice them, practice them, practice them, especially when you see it in somebody else. Hmm. Because it's easier, right? You see it in them. But here's the caveat. I can only see in you what exists in myself. Okay? Mm. So, I don't know who got the newsletter, and I don't think you did, Hillary, because I just added your name to the list there, too. So, but what I'm doing is these group sessions, we're going to continue them for a long time. So once you're in the program, you're doomed. You're going to grow whether you want to or not, you know, as long as you show up. You're doomed to succeed. You have no excuses now. I've extended this. As long as I'm willing and able and ready to do this, I'm going to continue to do it. So that once you're in, I get out of pain now program, you're going to forever be in the Healing Foundation program, okay? And so you can come on to these group calls all the time.
Awesome, and, thanks.
Yes, and this has been an incredible, incredible journey up to now. And each time we get on, there's going to be now people from various different parts of their lives coming in from all different directions. So I'm getting the idea that it's really going to be a beautiful, balanced way for us to break through and to find out what's going on in our lives. Like, for example, is it helpful, like, to hear, you know, you hear Veronica and you hear Hillary say a few things and Christine, and it's like you say, ah, yeah, that's something for me too. You know, and so, because you'll each bring up something that maybe is not on anybody else's agenda, but it's under there someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can all relate. Yeah. I think that this is where we can develop a beautiful community.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Now, with this community, just like what you're saying, everybody's like, yeah, it's really great, and Veronica was saying to it, and Christine said it, and I've said it, and we all said it. It's, yeah, it's really nice. It's warm and fuzzy here inside our internet and, you know, in our homes, and then we've got to go out and face the world. Well, the truth of the matter is the world is crying and screaming for your wisdom. I mean, Teresa said it. There's more people starving for love than there is for food. And see, when you start loving yourself, the world around you will change. That's the kind of joke that we have here. It's called, My, How You've Changed Since I've Changed. you're just going to see things differently. Okay? So brilliant. Wow, that was a fast, fast hour.
It was.
So what we will do is every first and third Wednesday we will be here, and we will be doing these group calls. They will be recorded. I'm going to try to summarize each one. If somebody has a great idea on how to summarize it, that would be wonderful, because we cover a lot of different things, so that I can put a title on them, you know, and then you can access that particular one anytime you want. You say, oh, remember this one. You can go back and get it, you know.
That's great.
So very good. So anybody have any parting questions? I've got a few more minutes here. Or anything they'd like to share or add?
Will the calls be the same time?
Yes. These will be every first and third Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. All right. Brilliant. Anything else? Besides Veronica's technical question. All right. Well, have a blessed and beautiful and wonderful time learning and loving yourself and sharing that with the world. And we'll be seeing you 2 weeks from now.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All righty. God bless.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hello? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello? Hello, hello. Hello, hello.